The epistle appointed to be read for this Septuagesima Sunday is taken from the first epistle of the Corinthians by St. Paul. Brethren, do you not know that those who run in a race all indeed run, but one receives the prize? So run as to obtain it. And everyone in a contest abstains from all things, and they indeed to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. I therefore so run as not without a purpose. I so fight as not beating the air. But I chastise my body and bring it into subjection, lest perhaps after preaching to others, I myself should become a castaway. For I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that your fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized in Moses, in the cloud and in the sea. And all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Yet with most of them, God was not pleased. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a householder who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And having agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And about the third hour, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace idle. And he said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard, and I will give you whatever is just." So they went. And again he went out about the sixth and about the ninth hour, and did as before. But about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing about, and he said to them, "Why do you stand here all the day idle?" And they said to him, "Because no man has hired us." He said to them, "Go you also into my vineyard." But when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning from the last even to the first." Now when they of the 11th hour came, they received each a denarius. When the first in their turn came, they thought that they would receive more, but they also received each his denarius. And on receiving it, they began to murmur against the householder, saying, "These last have worked a single hour, and thou hast put them on a level with us, who have borne the burden of the day's heat." But answering one of them, he said, "Friend, I do thee no injustice. Didst thou not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is thine and go home. I choose to give to this last even as to thee. Have I not a right to do what I choose? Or art thou envious because I am generous? Even so, the last shall be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, of course we all know that today is Septuagesima Sunday, and it is the first day of the season of Septuagesima. There are a few things that I probably should point out in the bulletin. I first of all would like you to read very carefully the prayer of Azarias found in the prophet Daniel in Scripture. I think you should need to read that very carefully, because I think that it fits us so wonderfully in this particular time, in this particular stage and period of such uncertainty and such fear and trepidation. Also on page one of the bulletin today, we have listed the readings that we suggest for this period of Septuagesima. And the readings start with the book of Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, with chapter 1, verse 1. And we do suggest that you read this carefully. We have just read the magnificent epistle of St. Paul. And these epistles that come up today and next Sunday and the Sunday following have been carefully selected over the ages by our church, a reasonable church, a sensible church, to instruct us and to bring us to that quality of faith and religion that we must have if we really and truly intend to save our immortal souls. And so, this morning, to start off the period of penance, the church picks out the Epistle of St. Paul, which talks about the one who is in a race, the one who is in a contest. And he tells us that as he does, we must run as not without a purpose. And therefore, we should stop during these days of Septuagesima before Lent starts, and we should ask ourselves, just what is our purpose? How serious are we, in truth? How serious are we in our words when we say we want to become a saint? My beloved people, if I wish to become a saint, then I have got to do the things that saints do. I must do the things that people do who really and truly not only wish to become saints, but who actually do become saints. It is not a matter of on and off, on again, off again. You are either on all the time, or you are off all the time. And not only that, but the very last line of today's epistle, even though, it tells us, even though these other people, these people did so many of the things that were supposed to be done, yet with most of them, God was not pleased. Why? Why is this so? Here we have these people that are doing all the things that are prescribed, An ingredient is missing. And what is that ingredient? Why is it that after all of this, I did not run and win the race? I lost. We do not take this seriously. We say, well, we're doing all this. God sees what we're doing. Yes, he does. God sees what we're doing, and undoubtedly he has to be. Please, I underline the word, he has to be pleased with my offering. Not so. Our Lord does not, God does not want to see the strength of my muscle power. God does not want to see the strength of my muscle power. That means nothing. The only thing that God wants to see in me is the interior disposition of my soul and the sincerity of my heart. And the foundation upon which all of this is constructed, the foundation upon which any runner, anyone in any competition, the foundation upon which his endeavor is to be built has to be stability. High points and low points, warm points and cold points, interested points and disinterested points, on again, off again, on again, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Is this what we're talking about? I don't think so. If anybody has any experience whatsoever in the physical life, he will very quickly come to see that if I have it as a purpose in my head to win that race, then I have got to be completely determined. Our commitment must be with determination. And it must be ever steady, never too much up nor too much down, always on a course. My beloved people, I have said this before in here, and I will repeat it at this time because I think it is important that we keep this in mind. In these days, when we are being threatened from every possible direction, we keep in mind the great tragedy that took place about a year and a half ago. How vividly we studied that, and how great was our interest in that. But that's unimportant. The important thing is this. Please know the characters that we're talking about. That what they did was good or bad or indifferent, evil or good, is unimportant in the analogy. But look at the unbelievably strong commitment of these men, or I guess they were men, the unbelievably strong commitment of these men who took the steering apparatus of an airplane, two airplanes, and without flinching, I suppose, I can only suppose, without flinching, they directed their plane to certain and violent and terrible death. Look at that commitment. Say anything else you want to about it, it's fine. Look only at their commitment, at their determination, which did not flinch. What about our commitment? Is it unflinching? And you know, Almighty God asks so much less of us than the devil asked of those people who went to their death the way they did. So much less. And yet, we are so stinting and so abbreviated and so uncertain in our service. And whatever service we give, what little it might be, we think we've done so much. And we tell God, again, we cannot run away from, we simply can't run away from the parable of the publican and the Pharisee in the temple. We're constantly reminding God, look, God, at who I am. Look, God, at what I am doing. Be mindful, God, of my offering. But can we be sure that God is pleased with our offering? The whole atmosphere of the world today is that hell is really not such a dreadfully terrible place after all. And that our words about hell are very likely exaggerated. And a lot of things about hell are probably old wives' tales. And that after all, I was placed here by God, which means that God loves me. And that he placed all the things around me because he loves me so much, and therefore he intends for me to enjoy the best of this life. And therefore it isn't wrong for me to enjoy the best of this life. And that I can go through life happy-go-lucky, I'm okay, you're okay, everybody's okay. Even God's okay. And that's what my feeling has become. It is in the air that we breathe. You know, we speak of poisonous gases that might be released upon us. Gases that will do this to us, and gases that will do that to us, and gases that will do all kinds of dreadful, dreadful, dreadful things to us. But my beloved people, can we put it into our heads for once and for all that the gas that causes me to think lightly of hell, of gas, of the gas that puts heaven and hell equally balanced on the balance scale. My dearest people, my dearest people, what gas that has been made by man is more deadly than that? The gas that causes me not to worry about my outcome. The gas that man produces can only cause us, a momentary problem. This other gas will give us an eternal problem. I do not know what hell is like. Nobody here knows what hell is like. This much we know, that there have been visions of hell. And the visions of hell, as described, as poorly and as well as they can be described, are beyond description. That we can see souls being constantly tossed about in the horrendous, unconsuming flames of hell, like cinders. Like cinders. Like cinders. And yet, how willing are we, and how quickly willing are we, how quickly willing am I to choose that which for one brief instant gives me a pleasure of whatever sort? My beloved people, this is insanity on our part, that we can choose a momentary pleasure over being cinders tossed about by the flames of hell for all eternity. And that we can take this with lack of stability. One day we believe in hell, the next day maybe not. One day on, one day off, one day fervent, the next day cool, one day this, one day that. If our faith is not built on the platform of stability, which means it is unshakable, then we, as is said here, yet with most of them, God was not pleased. My beloved people, everything we say here. Not that we point our fingers at anybody. We're only interested in our own little simple household. And I speak only to our own little simple household, the interior life. It is not in the addition of extra prayers, though we don't discourage prayers. I encourage prayers. I encourage the rosary. I encourage everything that is good in this regard. But I'm very careful that it is not necessarily in the numbers of prayers that we say, in the fastings that we perform, in the hair shirts that we wear, it's not in that at all. Yet with most of them, God was not well pleased. It is in the sincerity of my interior life there, this tiny little act that I perform out of the love that is in, the burning love that is in my heart, which, you know, that kind of love, that burning love, must never go hot or cold. It stays hot all the time. If that's not there, then everything I do, all the prayers I say, are for nothing. And 2 weeks from today, when we read the great epistle of St. Paul about charity, he will make it quite clear that even if we give our bodies up to be burned, if we give our bodies up to be burned, it profits us nothing. What a waste. What a waste, but a charred body. We do not preach here doom and gloom. It sounds like it, doesn't it? But these are the things that our blessed Lord himself said, I think. And who am I to think lightly of what he had to say? Who am I? Do I determine my own outcome? Who am I? Therefore, as we begin this awesome season, Christmas is put away now. The church, the mood in the church is completely changed. It's changed from celebration. Now it is time to remember man. It is time to remember man. And that we do not have here a playhouse. We must not become discouraged. We must not be fearful. We must be as the runner, as the runner, as the runner, as the runner. If he wants to win the race, he has to look at his purpose. He has to look at his determination. He has to grit his teeth. And go on and on. And on. This is what we must do. Is the runner discouraged because he may be a little slow today? No. He grits his teeth, doubles up his fists, and works harder. Undaunted, he goes on to win the race. These are fearful words for us, whose commitment sometimes is not so committed, and that it determines on our this moment's interest. So may God bless us and protect us in these days that are so perilous. Never before have we ever noticed such, have we? Nothing is certain today. Nothing. We who believe. I'm not saying that we're the only we's in the world. But let us, again, I speak only to our household of the faith, of this house, in this place, and in this time. We have no need to be afraid. If we are what we're supposed to be, if we are men and women of faith, of determined faith, of committed faith, of stable faith, of honest faith, of genuine faith, we have no need to fear. God is with us. And let us always, but always be mindful of the Blessed Mother. Who is it that truly loves the Blessed Mother who will not be saved? Do not be afraid, my lovely people, but let us go out with gritted teeth and face whatever there is outside to be faced in these most awful times. Do not be afraid. As we start Septuagesima, would we all please kneel? And I will give you my blessing and ask Almighty God to protect you and us from every harm and danger and attack.